Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Time to get stuck into all things Everton. Ped from the Blue Room is with me in the studio. How are you, mate?
Good morning. Doing well, yeah. Not too bad.
Getting the old coffee out there. Just getting the old kick going.
Not a morning man, mate. I'm just not a morning. Not a morning person.
That's why you do your show at 6:30 of an evening on a Wednesday night.
This is literally the only thing I get up for all week. Honestly, this is literally the only thing that I'm ever in the AM for.
Well, thank you very much for the time, mate.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you very much for that. If you're a big Evertonian, by the way, don't forget tonight, Blue Room, 6:30 right here on Radio City Talk. Let's get stuck into all things Everton, because it's been a bit like an international break for you lads, hasn't it? We're obviously no FA Cup action at the weekend. You've been bored?
I haven't personally, because I actually don't mind a break now and again, only because, and that's not because of the match, that's like, because of obviously all the other things I do, it's not bad to just have a little breather now and again, but it has been a little bit boring having no game, and obviously seeing the lads over in Dubai last week, and just seeing the FA Cup action, to be honest, and thinking, what could have been? But you say that most years, I suppose. But then again, you look at the FA Cup and you look who's left, and the fact that there's five of the six left in the tournament shows how strong it's been this season. And actually, I know this will sound a bit weird, but the draw couldn't have gone better for Everton, even though that sounds stupid, because if Man United win on Sunday, then the Europa League spot drops to sixth. And if four of the top five get into the semi-finals, then it drops to seventh. So we could actually know by the time we play West Brom if the Europa League is going to be seventh place. And as West Brom are our closest rivals to that Europa League, if we beat West Brom that weekend as well, then we could be in a very, very good position to get that Europa League spot.
You're sorting out all the hypotheticals.
Someone's got to. People look to me to know these things. And if I don't know them, then I look stupid.
Yeah, but Europa League's irrelevant for you. You're going to Champions League, aren't you?
Well, not quite yet.
Lukaku said you are.
Well,
He
did say it last night on Champions League, how much he loves the tournament and how reputations are made by the Champions League. He doesn't help himself, Rom. He does. But he is right. He is right. Before I start having a go at him, he is right. The Champions League is the place to be. You know, it's why John Stones wants to go there and be embarrassed. But it is the place to be. But as someone, you know, as some fans said, you know, prove it at Everton first that your Champions League ready. Don't bottle semi-finals. You know, look like you're ready for the Champions League, whether that's with Everton. But we've heard it all before. We hear it all the time. Until Everton are a Champions League team, then it's something we're going to have to put up with.
Sometimes footballers don't help themselves, do they, with their fans? When they obviously, Twitter can be a wonderful thing. It helps you get closer to people, all this type of stuff. But every now and again, they just drop a little bit of a bomb on there that probably rubs up 50% of your fan base.
And I've said this before, probably numerous times. Who are they talking to? You know what I mean? I suppose it's like when a fan tweets the club.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sign so and so. Like, it's poor Dave the T-boy who's got the Twitter account. You know what I mean? Doesn't make the signings. You know, the chief executive's phone isn't going off every 5 seconds.
You're not getting to Mashiri.
Yeah,
you're
exactly. Mashiri hasn't got the login, I'm afraid. And it's the same with Rom. You're thinking, who's he talking to? He's only talking to fans. Yeah. So there's no one at the club going, oh God, we better do something. You know, there's a contract 99% done there, apparently. So how about you just sign it and get on with playing? If a big club comes in for him, he'll get his move, I'm sure, if that's what he wants.
Regarding this weekend, Sunderland, both have been, well, I'm not going to say warm weather training, because Sunderland have been in New York and it's been minus four.
Oh, they've been on the lash.
Yeah.
I spoke to Steve about this last week. David Moyes did the same thing when he was at Everton. He took all the players to New York for 3 or 4 days on the ale. And he didn't make any bones about it, because all the players were putting pictures up of themselves in limos and stuff and on nights out. And so it's a team bonding episode.
Well, you cannot then, off a break that you've had in Dubai, obviously warm weather training and all that type of stuff, you can't get beat up by a team that's at the bottom of the league that's been on the lash for 2 weeks.
No, we can't. It's as simple as that. We can't. We've got to. You know, last weekend, the weekend before, was slightly more forgivable going up to Middlesbrough and not getting the 3 points. But Sunderland, you know, after coming off the back of a 4-0 defeat from Southampton, yeah, obviously they won the week before, Crystal Palace 4-0. Yeah. But really, we've got to be beating them. If we've got any aspirations of moving this team forward, we've got to beat them. And with Tottenham the week after away, and as I said, West Brom the week after, which will be a tough couple of games, you know, Sunderland have got to be dispatched. It's not going to be an easy game. And especially as, you know, it's basically Everton's B team as well coming back to play against us. You know, we'd be clapping every time someone touches the ball practically on Saturday. But we just got to dispatch them. It's just got to be, you got to look at the performance.
Professional performances.
And we've done quite well at home. Obviously, we've scored goals at home. But, you know, bar the sort of 25 minutes against Bournemouth where it all went a little bit messy and we let them back in the game, we kind of allow them to do that. And it's got to be a good performance because, you know, if they look at someone like Defoe, he can hurt you. He can if he gets, you know, he only needs a couple of touches and he's spinning you and he's putting the ball in the back of the net. So, yeah, professional performance, get the 3 points and keep looking up rather than having to have a little look over our shoulder at what's coming behind us.
One of your partners in crime, should I say, Dave Downey, did an interview this week on your website with the Yak. We love the Yak. And part of the conversation was about, obviously, where Everton are at right now. Mm. And he mentioned Idrissa Gueye as being one of the signings of the season in the Premier League. Where do you stand on that?
Definitely one of the signings.
Not just for Everton, he means as a Premier League entity.
Seven million for a player as good as he's been is unbelievable. You know, it was mad that there was actually a clause in his contract that allowed him to go for 7 million. And for the best part of, you know, the up to Christmas and around Christmas, he was absolutely amazing. He dropped off a little bit going into the African nations, which is understandable, I think. Probably play like him, having so much sort of pride playing for his country, probably didn't want to get injured and stuff. I can understand that. And really, he's only played one game since, and to be fair, he was abysmal at Middlesbrough. But I can understand, again, why he didn't play well, because he's just come off the back of a tournament. So, but that midfield now, there's so many options. Obviously, Schneiderlin, Tom Davies, Ross Barkley, Gareth Barry still in there, James McCarthy. That now is probably one of the best midfielders in the Premier League for, you know, the players that are in there and the competition. So he's got to maybe go up another level now to make sure he's in there. I do think him and Schneiderlin are the sort of one and two picks, and then it'll be a case for all the rest of them to fit in where and when it suits. But he has been magnificent for £7 million. So hopefully he finishes the season like he started it.
You mentioned some other lads there, like Ross and obviously Tom, local boys and what have you. But Idrissa being in that midfield, does he allow them to do their thing? Because for years, it's been one of them things where maybe Ross has been looking over his shoulder, I've got to cover this grass.
Yeah.
Trying to do somebody else's job when he needs to concentrate on his own job. With the confidence that the kid behind him gives him, does that then free him up to just be Ross Barkley and be Tom Davies?
It should do. It hasn't always been like that this season. But as you said, it's all about having that trust, I think. I think it's about getting the blend right now, actually. This is actually the big thing, I think, what's for Koeman for the rest of the season. And it's more for next season rather than anything else. It's finding that blend, because I don't think at Middlesbrough they quite had the right blend. And it's going to be up to him. Garner's going to be the lad who runs round, stopping the other side and then just giving it the easy pass. Schneiderlin's going to be the player who dictates the pace of the game with his passing. We've seen that against Bournemouth when we were under the cosh a little bit. He calmed it down a little bit and then we scored the fourth goal and never looked back. And then it's whoever comes in for that other spot or how we set up. And that's Koeman's, that's going to be the big achievement now for the rest of the season, to find out what that blend is. Because he's got so many players. Does he play Ross off Romelu Lukaku? Does he put him playing wide in three? Does he play him in a three in centre midfield? Where does that leave Tom Davies? I mean, these are fantastic headaches to have.
Yeah,
but I do think there's no one else like Garner at the club who can do that job. And I don't think there's anyone like Schneiderlin who can do that job. And I think, you know, they'll be the linchpin that the rest of the team works off. So it's going to be interesting. And that'll be built upon for the rest of the season going into next season. I think that'll be the way Ronald Koeman will look at it.
Speaking of trust, you've got a keeper that catches the ball. You haven't had one of them for a bit, have you?
No. It's great. Poor Tim Howard come under some flak last season. And obviously the big debate this season has been about what we do with a goalkeeper. I mean, obviously in the summer it was Joe Hart. There was a lot of talk about Joe Hart. And Stekelenburg started the season as number one, which I don't think was ever sort of the plan, really. And I just think that I think Ronald Koeman went with the man he trusted more than not man he trusted, the man he knew just between
familiarity.
Just to help him in you know with a new defence as well. It has been a bit of a turnover in defence, but Joel Robles has got the number one spot since December after the injury to Steckenberg in the derby, and has been brilliant. And as you say, he comes and catches the ball. He's a physical presence and.
He seems to talk a lot more than anything that you've had previously.
Well, he did last season as well. And this was one thing I noticed last season when we talked about on the Bloomers, how vocal he was compared to Tim Howard, who was an experienced goalkeeper. Yeah. It seemed very strange that. Another thing is, and this is what fans like, he loves it. You can see that he loves it. I mean, you only have to look at the goal, Luchman's goal against City, 4-0 up, and he runs from his own goal to the Gladys Street. And I actually found the video yesterday on Twitter because everyone's like, how did he do that? And I found a video yesterday that actually shows the run. It's brilliant. It's like Andy Gray in the old days, tracking the run. It's brilliant how he gets there that fast. But he loves it. And it's actually, I think it's took a lot of pressure off the manager having to look around, who am I going to find? Because there aren't that many goalkeepers actually who are world class.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are tied down like most players, and you're going to have to play a hefty whack. And I think the one we were all looking at was Butland.
Yeah.
And that I've got a mate who's a Stoke fan who runs a Stoke channel on YouTube, and they've got no idea if he's coming back. It's actually a really big worry, which is, if you're an England fan, it's a bit of a worry. And I think we were looking at him. But, you know, there's not many rounds. Schmeichel, Hart apparently hasn't had a good season. I've not watched a lot of him, to be honest, but people are saying he hasn't had a good season.
Well, Schmeichel, so. You just mentioned Schmeichel. That's the name that's been bandied around this week.
Yeah.
But that's because there's been no football and people need something to talk
about.
Yeah,
and obviously Leicester are in having a bit of a dodgy season. So, I don't know.
Do you need one? Are you happy with Joel?
I'm personally happy with Joel. He's actually doing the things that I want him to do. I think he needs to go up another level. But what he has showed in the last three seasons is he's gone dramatically up, because people remember him when we played and he was flapping at everything, but now he looks like a real presence.
Yeah.
So
he's still a young kid though as well, isn't he?
26, I think. Which,
but for goalkeeper terms, that's young.
Well, you know what? I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. I think the age of goalkeepers in the peak has actually dropped, because I think if you look at the top, I think it's such a position now where you have to be so agile.
Yeah.
I think it's actually dropped. I think the old adage of 35, I don't think that's necessarily true anymore, because you look at the top keepers now in the Premier League, you look at someone like Petr Cech, who actually...
He's dropped off
massively. Yeah. Not necessarily his fault after the things that, you know, has happened to him, but it seems to... The game almost seems to be so fast and you have to be so agile now to be a top keeper that I think it's dropped a little bit. So I think he's actually going into his peak years now. But I think he's got 5 or 6 years at his peak. So if he's at the right level, I think Ronald Koeman will play him. Because I think what Ronald Koeman's actually done is he's looked at players and gone, oh, I'm not sure about you. And then if they've stepped up, like James McCarthy, he's gone, well, you know what? Fair enough, I respect that, and now you're part of my plans. So it's whether the player reacts to what he wants, and I think Joel Robles has certainly done that.
What's on the show tonight, mate? 6:30 tonight for the Blue Room.
I think we'll be talking a little bit about the under-23s. I was at the game on Monday night.
Steaming it, aren't you? Steaming it.
Well, we're 6 points clear of City, and we've got City next. I think they need, so if they beat City, and I think, you know, then get a point in the remaining games, they'll win the league. And I spoke to David Unsworth on Monday night, and he's just... The enthusiasm he has for his players is just amazing, and they're playing so well. In fact, for some of them it looked too easy, but obviously they've got City next, so we'll be having a chat about that and which of those players maybe can come in and offer something a little bit different, like Tom Davies has this season. So that'd be one of the things, and obviously look forward to the game on Saturday.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.